meditation by Joanna Macy from her book, World as Lover, World as Self. And it is in honor of Earth Day, which is coming up on the 22nd. Come back with me into a story we all share. The story belongs to each of us. It is the story of this living earth, the story of our life as Gaia. The story of our life as Gaia is backed by science. It is a creation story that connects us with all beings. We need to break out of our isolation as persons and as a species, break through our divisions and separations, and recover our larger identity through this story. As science measures, 15 billion years ago, we manifested as a universe in what is commonly called the Big Bang. Now, imagine that you actually remember great swirling clouds of gas and dancing particles careening outward at the speed of light, creating space and time. 10 billion years later, one of those swirling masses split off and became Earth, and our story as Gaia began. Now let's imagine that our life as Gaia could be condensed into 24 hours, beginning at midnight. Until 5 o'clock the following afternoon, all was volcanic flaming and steaming rains washing over the forming continents and expanding seas. Only at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., did organic life begin, the life that is in you. Like the seas, we were aquatic in our mother's womb, and the salt from those early seas flows within our bodies yet. When did we appear as mammals in those first 24 hours of Gaia's life? Why, at 11:30 p.m., right before midnight. When did we become human? 1 second to midnight. From then until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we live as small groups in Africa. We're highly vulnerable. We haven't the speed of other creatures, but we do have opposable thumbs to shape tools and weapons. And the grunts and shouts with which we communicate gradually turn into language we use in our strategies and rituals. Those African days and nights represent the longest chapter in our human experience. Then we began branching out in small bands. At first, we're hunters, learning Gaia on foot and by heart. When we settle into agriculture and begin domesticating animals and building cities, the time is 11:58 p.m. again, 2 minutes to another midnight. A minute later, at 11:59, the human pace quickens even more. Major religions arise as we seek the wisdom of inner experience. Our questing minds are now free to think, explore, and dream apart from the Gaia underneath our feet. At 6 seconds to the next midnight comes a man called Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, and shortly thereafter, Jesus of Nazareth. The dynamics that shape our world as humans all took place in the last few microseconds of a cosmic day. And the effects of those crucial microseconds have carried us to this brink of time. We have brought into being technologies capable of threatening all life. The stakes for Gaia are very high. The future will test everything we know or think we know about interconnectedness, about relationships of power and strength, and about what we must learn now to live courageously in these times. Will ours be a culminating chapter in the life of Gaia or a turning point? As we return to the present moment, remember this. You speak not only for yourself or as yourself. In your heartbeat and in your bones is the precarious, exquisite balance of life. Out of that knowledge, may you speak and act accompanied by the resilience that is yours, has been yours, throughout eons of your life story as Gaia. Let us keep silence together. Amen.
A first reflection. When we go outside today, we feel the warmth of late spring with its darker greens and fully opened leaves, trees no longer bare. The first green that was gold, the spring green leaves and newly opened azaleas, it's beginning to deepen or fade. This interseasonal change is a kind of transition, perhaps a small one, but it's a transition nonetheless. In my house, late spring means moving the 22-year-old ficus tree out of the sunroom and into the yard. While inside, this rather particular tree has gradually been losing its leaves, letting me know it is not happy under its skylight up against a wall. Out it goes in late spring to wave in the breeze, to drop those last protesting leaves, and to host birds waiting at nearby feeders. New leaves slowly appear all throughout the summer, and like a dog growing a thick winter coat, the ficus grows dense and full with rich, dark green leaves. The scraggly branches grow thick, and long stems at the top try out all kinds of new angles of growth, completely destroying the carefully trimmed shape and size that fits so well inside the house. In my yard today, the dogwood and azaleas have faded. Spring is almost over. Oddly, I find a kind of comfort in knowing, in Robert Frost's words, that spring's early leaves of flower, but only so an hour. It's okay for early spring not to last forever. There's pleasure in late spring and in summer and in fall. Nature reminds us, practically whacks us over the head in our glorious southern springtime, that change is inevitable. Find the beauty, she seems to say, in those scraggly branches growing thick, in new angles of unusual lines outside the boundaries of the past. Find the beauty in the world that is lovely, that is different, that is now.